The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to Jesus along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then Jesus said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord. Be seated. Please, children, now come forward if you would to help with proclaiming the good news today. Our story ends up with those folks who are talking to Jesus being amazed. I want us to think about what it is like to be amazed. I'm going to give you an example of how I have been recently amazed. A month or so ago, my eyesight was bad, and I could barely see. If I was standing up, and maybe you all noticed it, if I was standing at the altar, I had to get really close to even see the words. But I had an operation. And now, guess what? I can see better out of this eye. It's like a whole new world. The old world was fuzzy and yellowish, but now the new world is bright and clear. But I only had one eye fixed. So, old world, new world. I was so amazed that I could see. And you notice, I probably should be wearing glasses, but I'm not wearing glasses because I can see so much better. I'm wondering, in your lives, has anything ever amazed you? Maybe not. We're waiting, right? We're waiting to be amazed. Could be. We're waiting to be amazed. Well, amazed to get an extra dessert. Yes. When a kid broke. Well, I'm thinking of, you know, I saw an amazing thing a number of years ago. Maybe you'll remember them. It was a show about talent, and people would come forward, and there was this woman named Susan Boyle, and she just looked like she couldn't do anything, much less sing. But when she started to sing from Les Mis, have any of you seen that? Maybe I know you all have. Yes, yeah. Yeah, right. And it's so amazing sometimes because so it was like a whole new world. As we gather today and hear the lessons, one of the things Jesus does in his care and his love for us is brings us a whole new world. It's like old world, new world. When Jesus embraces us in care, shows no P word, Partiality, right? Yeah. So when he's caring for all of us. So the folks in the story are so amazed this day because a new world is presented to them. The real problem is they have a hard time grasping it because they wanted to protect their old world. But they were amazed that Jesus was presenting this new world to all of us in forgiveness and love and the promise of life. Come and let's gather around. We give you thanks, O Lord, that you bless us with new life, with the new world, and that you empower us in our hearts and together as the community of faith to bring this new world to others, to show no partiality, but to love all people in truth and life. Bless these children as they hear your call for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. So it's interesting as we read this lesson today that Jesus' opponents, they know the way of God. Show no deference to anyone, no partiality. And they see that in Jesus he does that, and so he is sincere and true, they say. All truth begins here, no partiality. In our age where truth is so often disputed, all the time, it seems. Here is a foundational principle. No partiality. No prejudice. We were talking about this in the confirmation class, and one of the children drew a picture of Jesus. No racism. No sexism. No isms. And then all the people down below are clapping and saying, yay! It's a foundational principle. Life for all. Value and worth for all. So on one hand, Jesus' opponents, they're really landed on thick here, but only because they don't believe it. They are actually describing what is true and who is true. The one who shows no partiality. This one is Jesus. The irony is they want to destroy him because of this truth. As they say throughout the ages, politics makes for strange bedfellows. You got the Pharisees, these religious leaders who are trying to maintain a kind of pure religious identity apart from the Roman invaders and the Roman culture. But here they are teaming up with Herodians, who you could characterize as Roman sympathizers, for Herod himself was in power at the pleasure of the Romans, and he did their bidding. So I'm figuring perhaps the Pharisees hoped that the Herodians would rat Jesus out to Rome if he said, don't pay the taxes. At any rate, both of these groups are threatened. They're threatened by Jesus for the truth that they have stated, the very truth that they have stated about him. Because their power and authority is established and maintained exactly on the basis of partiality. And if Jesus comes, enacting God's truth and will that all are children of God who deserve to be treated with humanity and care, Jesus becomes a threat to them. So they live in fear. Jesus' opponents, in a sense, are fighting for their lives, their identity, their power, fighting against the will of God, against the one who comes showing no partiality, who comes calling us to live in communities of respect and care in which adequate food is accessible. So we'll collect food today. In which health and healing are possible for all. In which women are empowered to be full participants in communities. So it's no accident throughout Jesus' ministry that he picks all these areas for these miraculous deeds, these amazing things, this new world, because they weren't happening in the world into which he came. He was bringing a new world, the realm of God. So he fed thousands. He healed the infirm. He brought into respected society and community those who were despised. He befriended, encouraged, and empowered women. He welcomed the stranger, the immigrants. And he loved his enemies. just, I submit, as he is doing here in this lesson today, in his encounter with his opponents. But that doesn't mean he rolls over and lets them bust his chops. He is showing no deference, that he is revealing to them just exactly what they are up to. This is the best love he can give right now. Jesus' witness and embodiment of God's will and love, showing no partiality, caring for the lost and powerless, is perhaps the only hope they have. Showing no partiality is Jesus' true response to this dilemma which his opponents present him, because it is the way Jesus lifts up the true will of God, that all are God's children and worthy of life, and opposes an empire, the Roman Empire, that brings peace by a brutal military might, subjugating many so that a few may live. Jesus' response leaves his opponents right back where they started, which is the truth that they hypocritically confess. They are amazed. Thamazo, the Greek of that term, carries the sense of two things, both being impressed or being disturbed. I think both is true for his opponents. Impressed because the truth will not be undone. The will of God in Christ Jesus to bring life to all will not be overcome by deceit. Disturbed because deep in their hearts, they know that they are undone. The dilemma falls back upon them. Risk losing their privilege and status by embracing the truth of God's will to show no partiality, or resort to violence, physical violence, which will ratify their duplicity. They don't want blood in their hands, but what can they do? The conspirators are amazed. A new world is before them. But as we read the lesson, as we reflect on our lives, our world, aren't we all co-conspirators in one way or another? Caught between saving the sense of ourselves, justifying ourselves, to use Luther's language, and wanting to show no partiality, to give life, often caught in systems we deplore, yet benefit from. Luther himself could not solve this dilemma except through faith in Christ Jesus. And in these stories, in his confrontation with his opponents, or with us, with anyone, Jesus is never about ranking degrees of duplicity or failure. Jesus is always about bringing life to everyone. The world, the old world, chose violence to save itself in opposition to God's will for life. This Jesus bore on the cross, the violence which we endure and the violence which we cause. He bears the death which haunts us, which even taunts us, and gives in return the life for which we hope, never resorting to partiality or violence which supports it. In the resurrection, Jesus brings forgiveness, the promise of life, the new world, the realm of God, calling us to follow him, showing no partiality, but bringing life to all. Amen. In our prayers this morning,